Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again. And I'm extremely excited to come to you with this particular broadcast because this should culminate what we have been talking about as far as the question. Of course, my name is John Atkins. I am a Messianic pastor and a rabbi, a Messianic rabbi. And I'm part of the co-hosts that you guys have that I have the honor and that I'm sure that you have the honor of hearing, because the second part or the second half of this particular team that we have is Evangelist Tanita Jones, and I'm just extremely excited about not only about what God is doing in her, but what she's going to be sharing with you pertaining to a little bit of the summation of where we are before we conclude. But if you've heard this for the first time or if this is your first time tuning in, we do want you to know that what this broadcast basically is about understanding the Hebraic roots of our faith in the New Testament. It allows us to answer those perplexing questions that we run into from time to time in the New Testament that just doesn't connect or doesn't jive, if you will, with the Old Testament. So in this particular aspect, we are able to, by looking at and viewing it from a Hebraic perspective, we're able to get the answers that help us with our relationship with our Heavenly Father, as well as with Yeshua or Jesus, our Savior. And for some of us on this call or on this podcast, our bridegroom. And I'm excited about that. And I'm also excited again to introduce to you Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Yes, thank you, Rabbi. Great introduction. I just want to say that, it is an honor and a blessing to be able to share the truth of the Word of God, with everyone that's attending. This is our 38th show, and we will continue to answer the question about how to be cleansed properly as living tabernacles. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and get us started with prayer, and then right after that we'll get the synopsis or the overview of where we are up until this time. Father, we thank you. We're excited. We're excited not only to ask you to forgive us for sin, iniquity, and transgression, and so that you can empower us, because we need your empowerment to forgive others. We need your empowerment to not hold it to their charge, even if it's iniquity or transgression against us or against our family. Father, we thank you for that opportunity to be used of you each day. We thank you for being able to just pursue and to receive the new mercies that are laid up for each and every one of us each day. And Father, as we begin to pursue that, we ask that your Ruach, your Holy Spirit, begin to teach us, to begin to encourage us, strengthen us, reveal to us a more deeper, more affectionate manner in which we can walk so purely before you that you enjoy our presence and enjoy our relationship. And in turn, we reciprocate that joy in our own being and to the point of overflow and to the point of allowing others to see and taste and see of that overflow of what you are wanting to do and what you are doing in us. We thank you, Father. And we just allow you to have your way in this teaching. In Yahushua's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So as a brief synopsis of the previous show, the 37th show, the question is, how can we properly cleanse ourselves as living tabernacles unto Yah in order to host the presence of Yah as it relates to the items in the tabernacle? And Rabbi John, as you did on the last show, you began to tell us that one, and these are 8 bullet points to capture a summary of the show. One of the ways was how when we're walking in obedience, you said that it's like an exorcism will take place. We will begin to go automatically through a deliverance. And in that, we don't always have to go through people to pray for us, but our obedience to Torah, as well as our disobedience to Torah, can either allow us to be delivered or things will manifest. We can be oppressed. by demonic activity. The next thing is you also use the example in Genesis chapter 31, and it was Laban and Rachel as well as Jacob. And you were showing us how the reason why Rachel was barren was issues that she had in her heart. And she actually stole her father's idols. And in that happening, her husband pronounced a curse. Well, because of that particular curse and her not being honest, she was walking in bitterness. She had stolen. She was walking in jealousy, envy, as well as lying. And so that curse manifested on her because, of course, Jacob was unaware of what his wife had done. And you showed us in also number 30 how if the husband is aware of what his wife does, he can recant or repent on her behalf so that that demonic activity does not manifest. And lastly, demons understand Torah more than we do. And they know that when Torah is exercised, they have to obey. And I know for me personally, it touched me to know that they know to obey the word. So when we understand the word, they know to obey it. That means that they have to leave us. They have to go. And so the more the Holy Spirit is poured into us, the more the demons manifest, but they also manifest to go through deliverance. And the last example was Yeshua and the man that was full of demons, and how when Yeshua showed up, the demons manifested. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen, amen. That was an excellent synopsis. So with that being said, part of the manner in which I really really believe and feel that the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, wants to conclude this is with Psalms 119 and 165 as far as the verse. It's Psalms 119 and verse 165. And as Evangelist Anita is getting that, one of the things that I pray that you get a chance to really get a picture of is what we had talked about before. And what I'd like to do is give you a comparison of Old Testament and New Testament so that you can see through the old and new the understanding and that fuller understanding of exactly what the Lord is saying, and that he hasn't changed the manner in which he discusses how important Torah is in our life. He hasn't changed that. And in not changing that, that's good for us. It's good for us because we have a firm foundation and a valid truth that will never change, that regardless of what we go through, ups and downs and sometimes a turnaround that happens within our life from day to day, week to week, year to year, and so on and so forth, we know that his word, his Torah, will not change. So we can hold on to that, and we can base our foundation. We can use as a foundational stone for our house. Some of you, this is a good word for some of you, because you know that when others do things that are contrary to the trust that you have built with them, you know that you have a Father in heaven who will always fulfill his promises. He will always do what he said that he will do. He will be with you throughout all of the things that you go through. And when you call upon him, he's not far away, but he's near to you. As your words are to you when you speak, so is he near to you to rescue you and to save you and to comfort you and to keep you in all of your ways as you lean and trust and just put all of your confidence, and it's a process, but put all of your confidence in him.
Amen.
So, Evangelist Anita, if you have that right now, if you could go ahead and read that, and then we will go through that as well, okay?
Okay. So I'm going to read the Amplified Version, and it's Psalms 119, verse 65. It says, "Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them nor make them stumble."
Now, it says great peace.
Yes.
So by us walking in Torah, we have a promise. This is a covenant promise with our Heavenly Father that as we walk in Torah, and yes, I'm very much aware that it's the Old Testament, but Torah gives you the knowledge base. It gives you an understanding knowledge of Him, of the Father, and understanding how that works. So it's imperative that we get a good understanding and know that when we walk in Torah, we begin to get a knowledge or an understanding of our
mm-hmm.
Father.
Mm-hmm.
And because Yeshua is the living Torah,
mm-hmm.
He's the Torah that walked and breathed on earth and fellowshipped with man, but also communed and fellowshipped with Yah, with God. So that living Torah gives us an understanding as well. It gives us an illustration or a pictorial of how we ought to be. With that understanding, it's imperative that we see that even Peter in the New Testament echoed this particular passage. And I want to share that before we begin to really break down and go into this passage. So if Evangelist Tanita can go ahead and get 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start off with verse 2 and probably go from verse 2 all the way, okay? I'm going to say all the way to probably verse 7, okay? All the way to verse 7, okay?
Okay. And that's 2 Peter
and that
chapter
is,
1, starting.
That,
okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Starting at verse 2, Rabbi John. I just want to make sure I capture
that. Starting at verse
okay.
2. At verse 2.
All right. Okay. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And that's verse 7. Bye-bye, John.
Okay. Go ahead and go to 8.
Okay. For all these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, amen. So basically this is saying, and I think that what I'm also looking for here, these are the elements and the ingredients, if you will. But mm-hmm. it also says, and I'm going to kind of peruse down on mine and just see, it talks about that if you have these in abundance, okay, and that's
mm-hmm.
verse 10. Verse 10 is what I'm looking
yes,
for.
That's
yep.
it. That's
go,
it. That's
go
right.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Amen.
You will never stumble. He is pulling from Psalms 119. And verse 165. All of those attributes and characteristics, all of those are the composite of the Torah and, in the New Testament, the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit and the Torah come together, then all of these attributes, all of these qualities begin to germinate. They begin to come together, and they begin to complement each other. They begin to build upon one another, and it begins to fulfill and build up in your inner man that individual to whom and in whom the Father and the Son want to fulfill all that they're desiring to fulfill by the Spirit. Now, yes, it's by the Spirit, but it's also with the Word. Now, we've always heard in Ephesians chapter 5, you know, pertaining to the word, the washing of regeneration, or the washing of the word in Ephesians, the washing of regeneration in Titus. Okay? It talks about the washing of regeneration in Titus, but it talks about the washing of the word, or by or with the word, okay, in Ephesians. And one of the things that we need to understand is this, is the word that he's talking about is not some nebulous word that you receive as you are meditating and fasting and praying and all of this stuff, okay? Yes, God will speak to you, and God does speak to us, but primarily he speaks to us through his word. And the word that they were referring to back then, the scriptures that they were referring to back then, were the scriptures that holy men had written. Mm-hmm. Like what Peter was saying in one of his epistles, you know, that that what they had received, you know, was from the scriptures. And when they say scriptures, they're talking about the Tanakh. They're talking about the Torah. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the prophets. They're talking about the special writings other than the prophets. They're talking about this, but primarily they're talking about the Torah. Because the Torah gives us an understanding of how to be approved by God. And in that approval, as we walk in that approval, and in the New Testament it says, as we walk in the light, then we become illuminated. And as we are becoming illuminated, then the evil inclination within us is dying. The old man is being put to death and buried. Every step of obedience is a step where the old man is put into the grave and has been made powerless against us, which is what we desire and which is what we need on a regular basis. That's why when the scriptures say that we die daily, it's talking about the old man. When that old man is dying, then that means you're getting delivered. That means I'm getting delivered. That means that we're walking in the faithfulness, and not just by faith, but in the faithfulness of Torah, in the faithfulness of what his word says about us. As we do as he sees us, then we get delivered from what we used to be. And I'm going to say that again because I felt like that was for someone.
Amen.
As we do what he says and what he has shown in his word about us, as we become obedient to it, then the old man dies and we get free. It's a reciprocal action. As we do, then it dies. And as it dies, we're free. So as we begin to learn this, and one of the things that I feel so compelled to say and to share right now is that don't expect the freedom to immediately come to your conscious mind first. I'm going to say that again.
Amen.
Don't expect you to have the epiphany first, or sense in your senses first, that you're free. You have to walk first. And the freedom comes as you walk. And the freedom comes from the inside out, not the outside in. Your conscious mind is the outer court. You are a temple. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. The outer mind is the conscious mind that you believe, that sometimes we're all being tricked to believe, is probably a better way of saying it, that we're being tricked to believe is what is affected first. But what we have to understand is that the inner court is purified. That inner court is purified first. When the high priest gave an offering, and they take the blood, they take it into the inner court, into the Holy of Holies, and cleanse it from the inside out. That cleansing is a type and shadow of deliverance and the way deliverance works, from the inside out. So we have to understand that as we walk this, we're not going to necessarily sense and feel it immediately. That's where the faith and the trust comes in. There's an element of trust and faith that has to stand until the manifestation happens. Once the manifestation happens, then it's not as hard to trust in that area. Daniel was praying and asking God for something. And the moment that Daniel prayed, Gabriel the angel said, the moment that you prayed, I was sent by the throne room of God to answer you. I was sent immediately to answer you. But it took me 21 days to get to you. Well, when did the manifestation of the answer come? 21 days after. So where's the strength in trusting? The strength in Daniel having to trust God to be a God who will deliver an answer as he promised. It was exercised for 20 days. So consciously, Daniel was unaware. Don't miss this. He was consciously unaware of the answer coming to him. And at any time within that 21 days, he could have aborted the answer. He could have miscarried the answer. Zechariah was going to. We're talking about Zechariah being John the Baptist's father. Was going to miscarriage John the Baptist's birth.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabriel silenced his words so that the fullness of time could manifest without Zechariah aborting John the Baptist. Daniel stayed strong for 20 days. He didn't verbally abort through doubt and unbelief the blessing that God has for him. As we get ready to close out this session, and as you're cleansing yourself and purifying yourself and keeping your temple clean, be on guard. Be sure not to abort, not to say the adverse of what the Father is already doing for you. The moment you ask, an answer is on its way. Don't abort its manifestation. Allow the cleansing process to take its full aspect and full restoration upon you. Stand strong. And the strength has to be within the outer court, within the conscious mind, because the mind is where the adversary attacks you, where he bombards you with thoughts. Don't feel like you're the only one that this happens to, because you're not. We all go through the exact same strategy of the enemy. He doesn't change his overarching strategy because time is on his side and not yours and mine. Because he knows what Yeshua said in the garden is true, that the flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm.
So your focus needs to be on strengthening your fleshly man, disciplining your fleshly man, speaking and strengthening yourself. Most of you know the story of David in the cave when all of his men's spoils and family and everything had been taken by the enemy. And they were so distraught and so downtrodden that they literally, in their mind, wanted to kill David. We're talking about his mighty men. We're talking about the ones that have been with him through things. And in that moment of total despair, the Spirit of the living God rose up in David around all of these men that were ready to kill him. And he began to verbally encourage himself in such a way that it changed the atmosphere. He literally had an exorcism right there because mm-hmm. the thoughts of the mind and the heart of those men were evil upon him. And as he continued to do it, it changed their thought pattern, and they began to come in unison with him. And the end result was better for them than that temporary situation of turmoil. Do you have a temporary situation of turmoil? If you do, focus on the fact that it's temporary. Focus Amen. On the fact that this too will pass.
Yes.
Focus on the fact that if this too will pass, then only good can come upon you when you walk right before him. Focus on the fact that you have the right to claim 7 times and claim it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you claim it, do not withhold the blessings of God from coming onto you all the way with all 7. Don't settle
Amen.
For 6 or 5 or 4 or 3 or 2 or 1. Do not settle until all that is due you has been manifested to you. Do not settle until all. And for some of you, you've got to get a mindset that it is supposed to happen to you. Some of you, it has been so long, the dry season has been so long, that when he finally gives you 2 or 3-fold, when he should be giving you 7, you settle. Do not be like the king that Elisha was speaking to when he gave him an arrow and said, tap it on the ground, because that was how many times that the father was going to save him in battle and give him peace. And he settled for just a few taps on the ground. So much so was it distasting to the Lord that the prophet gave him an admonishment and said, if you would have done this, there would have been peace throughout the whole entire land. But because you've only settled, there's only going to be a temperance of peace during your time period. Don't settle. Receive all. Be freed from every demonic attack. And fulfill a walk of purity and wholeness every day of your life. Because that is your destiny. I'm going to, at this time, close and allow Evangelist Tanita to go ahead and give you some more information if you want to know a little bit more about us. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. Oh, I had to get myself together. Ooh, good word. Good word. Thank you, Rabbi Jones, for sharing that powerful message of how to just stay clean. For those of you that don't know, we have the show weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email your questions to tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry is called Beth Hashem Ministries, and we have 2 websites in which you can research information. The first one is www.beth, hashem.org. And then we have a Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you would like to attend services, you can email us at BethHashem@yahoo.com. That is BethHashem@yahoo.com. For those that are interested in going further in studies of a Hebraic understanding in depthness, like Rabbi is discussing on the show, we have a Zul College. If you will email us at office@BethHashem.org. We will begin our next session of classes in January of 2018. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. And Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, I speak that word into the very being, into the core of each and every individual. Father, I even ask them that they listen to this multiple times to really begin to break up some foul ground for some and to really begin to fortify and to put the good seed in the fertile ground. We allow the Holy Spirit to fertilize them right now. We allow the Holy Spirit to bring up the harvest that eyes have not seen and that ears have not heard. Allow them to see and hear and witness how much you love them, and how much as they walk according to Torah, they get freed, cleared, delivered, and set free. We bless you, Father. We bless them. And we bless your word. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen. Until next time, shalom, shalom.